When tyrants tremble as they hear the bells of freedom ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing to prison cells?
Women have historically occupied the role of connector. This reading is adapted from Ann Mason and is called The Circle of Connection in Our Lives. Spirit of Life, your very presence among us is what gives us connection. Help us sense that beneath us is the strength we need to keep us grounded. Help us feel that behind our back is the protection we need to feel safe facing our fears. Help us lift our heads high enough to be aware of the vastness of our sky and of our spirit. And help us know that within our hearts lies the love we need to complete the circle of connection in our lives. We are grateful, Spirit of Love, for this day. May we use our gifts to bring love to this sometimes troubled world, this world which we so value and cherish. Now, just a moment of silence. A lot of what we're going to talk about today has come about within the Unitarian Universalist Association since the resolution of 1977. And one of the things that was a result of this resolution was a revamp of the hymnal. Now, the hymnal we used, that we've been singing from this morning, was published in 1994. After so many criticisms of the previous hymnal that a commission was appointed to try to redo some of the criticisms of the hymnal that had been in use for 30 years, because that hymnal was not gender inclusive at all. There were very few songs by women and almost no diversity. Demographic diversity in terms of the contributors. So a commission was formed, and they spent years looking through thousands and thousands of possible readings and songs to include in what was then the new hymnal, and that is what we use today. One of the things we know from history is that women have often been disincluded in terms of art and music, and that's where the title for this presentation came from. Oftentimes, if women's contributions were included, they were included as anonymous, the name of the woman being lost. But a lot of work that women have done over the thousands and thousands of years was literally lost. There are efforts underway now, probably efforts that are more strong than ever in the past, to uncover some of the work that has been done by women, to make everything we do more inclusive, to make art, to make music, to make life more reflective of the history and the contributions of women. In our current songbook, our current hymnal, which is viewed as rather inclusive, 19% or about 80 of the 415 songs were either composed or arranged by women. If we do just a mini content analysis, I'm a sociologist, I can't help it. It's interesting to look at the various thematic categories in the hymnal, and you can see that there are sort of women clusters within several of the themes. The songs that women have contributed tend to cluster under topics that invoke justice and equality, and others that describe a spirituality that is more connected to nature, beauty, and goodness. Not exclusively, but there are clustering of women there. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit before the hymnal and talk about one of my favorite women in history, Saint Cecilia. Saint Cecilia is the patron saint of musicians, and she lived from 200 to 230 CE. She was a singer, a celibate, and convinced her husband to be celibate, and became a Christian martyr. She lost her head. She was canonized in the 1400s, and at that same time, a musical institute in Rome was named for her. Nothing has been written down and brought forward as a contribution in terms of a composition, but she was considered a singer. The next person, which again is someone who predates UU, is Hildegard von Bingen, who was a German abbess, and she lived from 1098 to 1179. Unlike most women of her time, she was educated by a tutor. She was actually given to a convent when she was 8. By her parents. She was the 10th child, and apparently there was some custom if, you know, the last girl becomes, is given to the Holy Mother Church. And so at 8 she entered a convent, but the advantage to that was she was educated, and a lot of women of that time were denied an education. And she was also allowed to pick up musical instruments, and so her education was much broader than the average woman. She also, as an adult, had more status and a little bit of power in the Roman Catholic Church because she had visions. And her musical compositions were sometimes her visions kind of set to music. But she also composed songs that paid homage to the saints and to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, Carla's going to sing just a little bit so you get a sense of her Latin composition. This is Ave Generosa, and this is the beginning of an homage she wrote to the Blessed Virgin. Now, we have a song that's attributed to her in the hymnal, which is very, very different than this, but this probably has a little bit more of the original flair from Hildegard.
Ave Generosa, gloriosa, et intacta, to mater.
the system that we're using, I didn't indicate this earlier, is there's no point in talking about music without actually including some music. So I use words, Carla uses music. It's the yin and yang we have. So I'm going to kind of fast forward through the middle centuries. There isn't a lot of evidence of women's contributions from that time. There is some record that women, typically choirs at this time, were male. I mean, this is the height of patriarchy. Everything was male. But there were some choirs that used women in Venice. But the women were either in lofts in the high areas of the cathedrals, or they were behind screens because they were obscured from view of the people who were attending the masses there. So we'll just kind of fast forward through that. And now we're going to get to UU time. The Unitarian, what has become the Unitarian Universalist. Our founding goes back to the 1770s. And about the time, there was an evidence of Universalist or Unitarian presence in the United States. Phyllis Wheatley was making the voyage as an 8-year-old enslaved child from Africa. Now, she came to the U.S., she was sold on the auction block and purchased by the Wheatley family and actually given their name. They taught her to read and write and encouraged her poetry when they saw how talented she was. She became the first published African-American female poet, traveled to England and to the continent, and her poetry was widely received. When she came back to the U.S., the Wheatleys emancipated her, and she had a bit of income from her first book of poetry. But as she continued to write, the Revolutionary War began, the Wheatleys died, and she lost her sponsorship. She married a freeman, and as was easy to happen, financially they fell on hard times. He went to debtor's prison. She ended up taking a job as a maid in a boarding house, got very ill, and died at the age of 31. Now, the reason I've included her here as a representation of women's contributions, one of her poems, "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child," is included here under the category of African-American traditional songs. Carla is going to give us a little sample of this, which many of you may know since it's included here.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long way from home. A long way from home.
Florence Price received her early music training from her mother and attended the New England Conservatory of Music, graduating in 1906. She moved to Chicago and began composing. She was considered quite a phenomenon, winning the Rodman Wanamaker Prize in 1932. She performed with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra at the Chicago World's Fair. She composed over 300 compositions. And this, you have to understand, or you have to put in time sequence, was remarkable for an African-American woman. To be today what we would call intersectionality, to be both a woman and African-American, and still work at such a level that she was known for her work, is amazing. She did not write anything that's in our hymnal, but she arranged My Soul's Been Anchored in the Lord, which was performed by Leontine Price at the Carter White House back in the 1970s. And I wanted to use that song to sort of represent the voices that are there and the voices that are there and unrecognized, the contributions of African-American women in the last century.
In the My soul's been anchored. My soul's been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul's been anchored in the Lord.
Stylistically, we're trying to show you a number of different approaches to music. Doris Troutman Plenn, a person whose name resides as having penned a couple of the verses that we sing, or that Carla sang earlier in How Can I Keep From Singing? We don't know a lot about her, except that she spent a few decades as a teacher in Puerto Rico, wrote two children's books. That's one of them. I couldn't find an image of her. She apparently was very reticent about being known. I found just a little blurb that said that she refused to take any compensation for writing the verses that she did for How Can I Keep From Singing. She just wanted them to be available to the public. And so we don't know much about her, except that her name is there. But this song has an interesting history. We researched some of the historical notes on it. Robert Lowry was credited with writing the music, but no one was credited with the words, except in one publication from 1868, Pauline T. was credited as having written the words. Her name seems to have disappeared from subsequent publications, so we don't know what happened. We don't know who she was. We don't know what happened to her. But so we have to put this one in the category of Pauline T. was almost anonymous. But after in more recent publications, the words are just considered traditional. This has been considered a Quaker song, but in looking at the notes, you see that it came at a time when Quakers were not using certain types of music in their services. So apparently it didn't come from the Quaker tradition, though it may be used in the Quaker tradition. So what you're getting today is 1% of what we found over the last couple of weeks, pulling together information, trying to find songs. There is so much out there, and it's very cool to find. Not only was a hymnal written, there was a book about the hymnal written called Between the Lines that went into greater detail on the songs and some of the people who wrote them in the hymnal we use. And then, in true UU form, there was a descent written about the hymnal, because there were people who objected to things that were included and had a whole list of omissions. So we have the hymnal, the explanatory, the descent. So it's interesting. Moving along, our next example is Grace Lewis McLaren. And her composition is number 301. She is still around, a contemporary and prolific musician. She is retired and has performed, she plays organ, and has performed at cathedrals and places around the world. The sample that Carla is going to sing for you is Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky.
Touch the earth, reach the sky, walk on shores while spirits fly. Over the ocean, over the land, our faith a quest to understand.
Linda Hirshhorn, still around. She's a nationally known director and composer. She has a vocal group called Vocalette. She's a professionally trained musician, and she has served for the last 30 years as cantor of Temple Beth Shalom in San Leandro, California. Now, this song some of you may well know. Carla's gonna sing it, Circle Around for Freedom. So as she sings it, I'm gonna give you permission to join in if you know this one.
Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us in prison, circle for release, circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children.
Carolyn McDade, a name that we probably are very familiar with. She's very well known as a writer in UU circles. Originally from Louisiana, she moved to the Boston area. And she was asked back in the 70s to do, it was after the resolution, she was asked to do a service for her congregation and use music composed by women. And she couldn't find much. And so she decided to rectify that situation, and she sat down at her piano, she said, and started composing and singing to her three daughters. And she hasn't stopped composing, and she hasn't stopped singing. And her work is a very important piece of the history of the denomination, and as representative of the types of songs that women have a tendency to compose, the types of messages women want to send out, to transmit through song. And even though we have a number of hers in the hymnal, Carla's going to do The Ancient Love, which is one of our particular favorites. And again, if you happen to know this from having been places where they do others of her songs, feel free.
From
So we have come to the end. In closing, go forth, but return to this community where kindred spirits live, where all are welcomed and included. Go in peace. Go in joy. Go in love. And go with music.